the loved ones the Lord has laid upon my heart to find and read. So let us turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 7. And we can begin our reading on verse number 13. Matthew chapter number 7, beginning our reading with verse number 13. Ljubazni verni, želim nađemo i pročitamo sa pomoću Božijom iz Svetoga Evanđelja po Mateju iz 7. glave od 13. stiha pa do kraja. Matthew chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off thorns, or figs off thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Dear loved ones, I would like to have a second reading as well. There's just four verses in support to the reading that we already had. And this we can find in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 9, verses 23 to and including verse number 26. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 23 to and including verse number 26. Ljubazni želim nađemo i drugo čitanje koje možemo naći u Svetom Evanđelju po Luci u 9. glavi od 23. pa do 26. stiha. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Dear loved ones, brothers and sisters, and dear friends, and all that have gathered in this morning hour to hear God's holy word, I'm aware and understand that every time we come into the house of the Lord, we have a great expectation. And we rely upon the Lord. And the focus is on his word, not who's standing here and who's preaching God's word. If by any chance anyone has come into the house of the Lord and expecting something from man, or perhaps from this preacher or that minister or this elder, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, we're going to be very disappointed because we are but weak men. I recall the words of Apostle Paul when he wrote and said, "And brethren, pray for me." This is Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, who we esteem greatly and think of him as an apostle to whom the Lord revealed himself directly. "Pray for me that I may speak boldly, that the gospel may go forth in its truth, in its simplicity, that the mystery of the gospel may be revealed." This is where focus needs to be, dear loved ones. We are but weak servants. And as I stand here before you, I stand in great, great fear. I'm afraid. What am I afraid of? Perhaps what you will think, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to preach. How many of you here, whether there's two or three or thousands? No, that doesn't matter to me. What I fear, dear loved ones, and what every single minister or whoever's called here to prophesy the word of God should fear, that which the word of God says, "For the false teachers and preachers shall receive the greater condemnation." They shall receive the greater condemnation. Why? Because they influence others and they teach others. They are very accountable to God. This is what we need to fear. Not what man thinks. But if we stand here and preach the word, dear loved ones, and you will discern and judge at this morning hour whether I'm a false prophet or not, whether I teach the things of the truth, the hidden truths of God, or do I speak falsely. But if I speak the truth, dear loved ones, then I pass the accountability over to you. And you as well need to fear, with great fear. The word of God tells us that we need to work our soul salvation in fear and in trembling. Then that's passed over to you. You need to fear because now you're accountable. It works both ways. Is there anything more beautiful, dear loved ones, than the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I believe it's the second verse that we sung in hymn number 77. "Lord, for thee I ever sigh, and nothing else, absolutely nothing else can satisfy. For to have my Jesus near," and this is where we find him, "near, this is perfect pleasure here. For to have my Jesus near, this is perfect pleasure here." I want to share a little secret with you here. Perhaps, which is no secret at all, if we but stop and think. When God created man, dear loved ones, he created him in such a way different than any other creation, with intelligence, with the ability to choose of that which is good or evil. And he gave him with the ability to discern things, and he gave him much, much pleasure in this life in many different ways. But one thing the Word of God tells us strictly and plainly, that God has pleasure as well, dear loved ones. He has pleasure as well. There's much scripture that supports that. I want to read one verse before we move on into this reading here and just read this to you here and share with you what kind of pleasure can we give to God. What is that pleasure? This is what we can read. One verse that comes to mind, there's others. It says this. Just bear with me here to find this verse. Verse number 11, Psalm 147. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. The Lord taketh pleasure in those that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Does this describe you and I this morning, our beloved ones? Do you fear the Lord? And are you here in your weakness, perhaps, hoping in his mercy? This is what gives pleasure to the Lord. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. When we cast ourselves down at his on our knees before his face and, Lord, be merciful. If I have failed thee in some way or fashion, if you have been disappointed in me, forgive, Lord. Forgive. I fear. I know I haven't been perfect. Do you know what the Word of God tells us in Scripture? The Lord is mindful that we are but flesh and blood, that we are but the dust of this earth, into dust we shall return. And to those that fear him, using that same word again, he takes pleasure in those that fear him and hope in his mercy. To those that fear him, his mercy is as great as from heaven to earth, east from west and south to north. Does anyone here knows what that distance is? I don't. And no man on this earth knows what that is. This is how great his mercy is to those that fear him. I often get snagged here, if you will, in this scripture here, Matthew chapter number 7. In this, especially this part of the chapter, there's so much depth in this, so much wisdom. We need to look into this deeply to understand what is Jesus trying to say here. Especially, dear loved ones, knowing that we live in latter days, the Word of God tells us there's going to be many, many false teachers. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall be swayed. Many shall be deceived, not even knowing. Many should be deceived. Much will be promised to them. And the way Apostle Peter writes, and not to go into that, but it kind of ties in with this. He says, while they themselves promise them liberty, they themselves are entangled and are the servants of sin. How scary is that? Let us begin here. Verse number 13. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we can see some of the key words here, dear loved ones. Wide, broad, straight, narrow. Few, many. Stop and think about this. Few, many, wide, narrow. And as we just had this reading for the basis, I would like to, as we go find some similar passages, I would like to turn to Luke 13, similarly wording, as Jesus went, those who would like to follow, Luke 13, verse number 22, first of all, and a few verses there after. And he went through the cities and villages teaching a journey to Jerusalem, as we can read this as many places, that was his custom. Verse 23, then said one unto him, somebody asked the Lord Jesus, says, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, what? What do you say? Somebody wanted to know, and I know that at one time or another, the loved ones, they could pass it through your mind at all. I know it did to mine. And I said, Lord, who's going to be saved? Am I one of those? Who really will be saved? Who are those that are going to be saved? Because sometimes it can be confusing if we are not focused into God's word, regardless what anybody tells you, regardless what I tell you, the basis and the root to all things is God's word. We have to turn to God's word. Otherwise, we can get lost as those people go into space where there's no gravity, and sooner or later, they lose track of what's up, down, left, or right. There's just no way of telling. We have to be rooted into God's word. And what did Jesus say when somebody asked him, are there few? He didn't say many. Are there few? Jesus said, strive to enter in the straight. Means narrow again. Straight gate for many. Now he uses the word many. I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many will try and seek to enter into kingdom of heaven, but they walk the wide and broad way, and they shall not be able. They will not be permitted. They won't be able to enter. Why, dear loved ones? Because they walk the wide and broad way. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I know you not whence you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you come from. I don't know you, period. But you, what would they say? Then they will begin to say, we have eaten and drunk together in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall repeat again and say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear loved ones, we live in very, very dangerous times. We can tell. Perhaps some who do not keep track of this and what's happening. Even 100, 150 years ago, things stayed the same. Nothing has much changed for thousands of years. In the last 100, 150 years, especially the last 20, 30 years, we who are middle age or somewhere there, we remember things were simple. Life was simple. The technology, the everything, it's incredible. And it just it bounds, it's multiplying in such a pace that they said people are becoming full of anxiety and nervous, and they're stressed out. They cannot keep up with anything. They feel uncomfortable. Stress levels like never before. The suicide rate has tripled. And especially between the ages, they're saying from teenagers to the age of 30, they feel they cannot cope. They're overwhelmed. This is the times we live in, dear loved ones. And the Bible talks that the knowledge shall increase in the latter days. And it talks of what kind of people they shall become in the latter days. What kind of people will be? Lovers of their own selves, haters of God, and on, the morality is going to decline, and things that will be happening on this earth, it is scary. But this is for another time, not to get into that right now. The point is that we live in a times there's so much deception. Where I come from, in Colorado Springs, it's considered as the religious capital of the United States. There's practically a church on every corner. Religious institutions, they're everywhere. Every corner, practically a church. Who's speaking the truth? Who are the false teachers? Who are the false prophets? How do you know I'm speaking the truth? Look into the Word of God and listen as the Lord speaks. And don't listen to man. Oftentimes, dear loved ones, when we start seeking the Lord, we're instructed, we are counseled to seek the Lord, to forsake the past, to do restitution, to weep over that where we have offended the Lord, to repent, turn our life around, confess our sins, have victory over sin, that we become baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, die with him and are buried in the watery grave. And we arise as in newness of life, as newborn creature walking in the footsteps of Christ. And we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed for their redemption. Our names are written in the book of life. That's entering through the narrow gate. But you know what happens, dear loved ones, after that? And sad to say, God forbid that anybody is here like this today. We soon forget that once we enter through the gate, we have a choice. We can broaden that way. And many have broadened their way and going many different directions. Narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way. Once we get through the narrow gate, we need to stay on the narrow way. Not once we pass through to start broadening that way. This is so dangerous, dear loved ones. So dangerous. In this world, you will hear, dear loved ones, the truth preached. The truth preached, but just slightly twisted. And that is so dangerous. I want to read a portion of scripture here to tie in with this again. We can find this in the Galatians, the loved ones, when Apostle Paul says, after he presented to them the truth and nothing but the truth, he says, I marvel, I'm amazed and shocked that you are so soon removed from that call, from him that called you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel. And what other gospel is that? The loved one says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Means just twist it, just change it a little bit. In this world, the loved ones, they preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They preached that he came and died on the cross, that he shed his blood for you, that he is a merciful God, full of grace, that he's calling to you, that there's heaven and hell. But where is the calling of repentance? Where is dying to self? As we have read in this second reading here, dear loved ones, where is this reading here that we have in Luke that we have read here, where it speaks, it says this, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Is anyone here wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You need to pick up your cross, whatever that cross might be. Whatever portion the Lord has allotted to you in this life on a daily basis. You need to pick up that cross on a daily basis and follow him. And that's called self-denial, dear loved ones. Self-denial and suffering sometimes. And putting with things that we don't want to put up with. Is this an easy thing? If I would come here and tell you, yeah, this is no problem, we can all do it with our hands down, I would not be speaking the truth. I would be a false prophet. It is not an easy thing to be a Christian today, dear loved ones. It is not an easy thing. I want to read the last verse here, verse 26 in the second reading. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's in the presence of the holy angels. There are many today that call Christians, but they are ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are afraid to speak about him. They are afraid to share the truth. They are not quite convinced themselves. They are not perhaps sure how to share, maybe not given to the word as much as they should be, or prayer. They are ashamed. Whether it's their conduct, the Bible said we need to be in all manner of living, in everything. We should not be ashamed. As Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. That is in our conduct, in our manner, in our speech, in our workplaces, in schools, in our modesty, and in everything. In our apparel, whatever it might be, we need to and we have to stick out. Perhaps those that know the Roman history, I don't want to get into history here right now, but to make a point, those who have perhaps know it in its extensively, they have studied it, the true believers, when they're persecuted, they always stuck out. They never blended with this world. They stuck out. They were different. If we blend with this world in every way, watch what they watch, go where they're going, talk the way they talk, in our apparel and everything, we are no different than the world. Be not as this world, lest ye be condemned with this world. This is what God's word says. This is what God's word says. Let us get back to this reading again here. It says here, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Someone that disguise themselves as speaking the truth, but they're not. As speaking the truth, do we know how to discern what is the truth? And this is what it says after that, dear loved ones. And this is what makes us realize this and be able to tell what is the truth. Ye shall know them by their fruits. By their fruits. Now, Jesus is using an example here that everyone understands. We all understand orchards. We understand fruits. We understand trees and so forth. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Has anyone ever seen here grapes growing on a bush that is thorny and not a vine? Has anybody? I know my dad used to have vineyards back in old Serbia, Yugoslavia. I never seen that before. He had them back in California. I never seen this before. We had fig trees before. I never seen figs come off of the way it's described here, figs off of thistles or grapes off of thorns. I've never seen this. Let me put it a different way, something we understand a little bit better, dear loved ones. Let me give you an example here. What would you think if I was here to tell you right now that while coming to church here this morning, we have somebody in trouble on the side of the road, perhaps a flat tire, and we stopped, and I was there helping change a tire, losing my orientation. I stepped backward into the middle of a highway, and a big semi came at 60 miles an hour and slammed into me. And I'm here, and here am I speaking to you this morning. You'll probably say, he's delusional. There's something wrong with this person. This can't be. This defies logic. This defies gravity. This cannot be. He'll be dead. And I'm here standing till evening, till the sun goes down, trying to convince you, persuade you that this is what happened. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. And yet many believe this, their loved ones. They believe that grace can grow from thorns. They believe the figs can be picked from thistles, but it's an impossibility. And many are deceived in this world. And what he was trying to say when he speaks about according to their fruits, their lifestyle, their works, this is how you can tell who's a true believer and who is not. And there many are deceived, thinking that they can live in sin. Raise up your hand, profess and call to Jesus into your life. Offer a simple prayer. You don't have to come back later. No repentance, no conversion, no turning your life around. You're saved. It's no different than what I just shared with you, this example. No different. It's no different. We have to be sober and awake in a faith, your loved ones, to realize. These are matters of life and death. Scripture came to my mind, just a couple of verses here, Galatians chapter 6. As Paul spoke, this is what he said. The last chapter to the Galatians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He won't permit himself to be mocked. And this is what he said. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's no two ways. It's black and white. Let no one deceive you that this can happen, dear loved ones, that you can live a sinful life, and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. God will not permit himself to be mocked. He will not. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Cannot happen, dear loved ones. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, this is not me saying, Lord Jesus Christ, a good tree cannot, it's impossible bringing forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, what's going to happen? Compares the judgment day of Christ is a tree will be hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let no one deceive you. Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do we see the pattern over and over speaking about the same thing? Over and over, it's a pattern. Fruits, good fruits, evil fruits, wide gate, broad gate, narrow, straight. And these are just all marked in my Bible. It's all in red. The words of Jesus Christ. Over and over, warning, let no one deceive you. Many are deceived. And the words that he uses, few. When that one came, as he went from to our cities, Jerusalem, Lord, are there a few that will be saved? He didn't say millions or thousands or a few. Strive. Strive to enter into the narrow gate. When narrow the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to the kingdom of God, the life everlasting. But broad way, and a wide way, and a wide gate leadeth to destruction. And many, he says, many, many go thereat. Many are called Christians, the loved ones. Many today, and I'm not being judgmental, be here. What I'm saying, I'm just simply sharing the truth. We know this. Many go to church like on Sunday, like this today, to be entertained. Different programs, screen, this and that, many different things to be entertained. This is not a place of entertainment, dear loved ones. If you want to be entertained, you're in the wrong place. This is a place where the fear of the Lord rules. He warns. We learn of him here. He tells us how to inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is what this is at. The house of the Lord. One last example, then, and the brothers had asked me for a few words to switch in Serbian. And I will, as the Lord would permit, and that just to share this as well. It says like this: many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" Those that have, like myself, it's called prophesying, preaching in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out even devils. We have even done this in Your name, and in Thy name done many wonderful things. And then I will say unto them, profess over and over, says, I never, not just I knew you for a short time, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Go away. Get away from me, you who have lived in sin. You who have brought corrupt fruit, evil fruit, who walked in the wide way, the broad way. You are one of those many which leads to destruction. Go away. And they will come again, as we have read in chapter 13 of Luke. He told them twice there, depart from me. The second time, ye who work iniquity. See, dear loved ones, it is one thing for us to say, we know the Lord Jesus. We know who God is. We know the Lord Jesus. But it's a whole different thing for him to say, I know you. Just imagine, just a little illustration here. Imagine if you go to the you go to the White House where the president resides. And you knock on a gate, and the security guards come here. Who are you? I know the president. I know. Can you please let me in? He says, hold on a second here for a minute. He goes, says, do you know this person? I know him not. I don't know who he is. Get him out of here. I don't know who he is. Well, but we know him. We met him before. We talk. We sup together. We whatever. No. I don't know who you are. Get him away from here. Big difference knowing the Lord and knowing about him and he knowing you. And this is where this reading comes here, dear loved ones, as we have read here. I don't want to prolong this too long. In Luke 9 again, as we have read. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. We heard this example about the president. But think about in a day of judgment. For we must all stand before the judgment throne of Christ to give an answer for that which we have done, whether it be good or evil, we will give an answer. And it says, and then every tongue shall confess. And another scripture says, and every tongue shall become mute after they confess. And then every knee shall bow to the name of the Lord Jesus, and then comes condemnation or eternal life. The question again. This Bible is full of questions. I don't pretend to have all the answers. Nobody does. But questions. Are you ashamed of who you are? Are you ashamed to be called a Christian in all manner of living? All manner of living. Or you want to just blend with this world? Woe unto us, starting with me, if that's the case. Woe unto me. Apostle Paul says, woe unto me if I preach the gospel. And he was afraid, lest somehow I find myself cast away. This is what he said. Are you ashamed to be called a Christian? How you talk, where you go, what you watch, how you dress, and everything. Think about that. We have to think about this. In the very last illustration here, I think we at one time or another all built houses. We know what a foundation is. We know what it means to lay down prep work, the way we call it. Can you imagine somebody, we see somebody taking a house, beginning to build, and he takes these walls, he builds them, and just sets them right on the ground, low land where there's water and perhaps a floodplain, as they call it, or the storms will come close to the beach somewhere in the sand, and just start building like that. You probably think something's wrong there, really. So this man doesn't know anything about building, or he's a fool the way the Bible talks about here. He said, what is he doing? But this Jesus is, again, a man that whosoever hears these words of mine and what happens, and he does not keep them. He is just like that man that's building this house on the dirt in Luke, and it says in the sand in Matthew here, same thing. No foundation. He's not founded upon the teachings of Christ. But a wise man who heareth my words and keepeth them and lives that way, he's like a wise man building his house upon a rock, foundation that's dug. It says digs deep, the way it says in Luke. Digs deep, it's stable, it's concrete with steel around it. The waters might come and rise over it, and sooner or later it'll go down, but it will not knock it down. This is a true believer. And Jesus used that illustration here, example that, because we can understand. It's so simple. This is what true Christians are. Think about that, dear loved ones. There's so much more to go on and on. There's so much scripture ties into this. But the bottom line is, there are many false teachings, many false prophets who are ravening wolves, but dressed in sheep clothing, pretending that they're speaking the truth. But you will know them, how they live. And then don't forget, they will know us, how we live. We need to be a light and example. A city that sits on a hilltop cannot be hid. Neither wants to be hid. Make sure that we do not somehow become ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to hide. Try to hide. Nobody sees us. But woe unto us. I would like to speak a few words in a Serbian language as well. And I was asked to do this. I will do as the Lord would permit me.
Jesus said that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And this morning we were reminded that the words of Jesus Christ are the sweetest words for our soul and grant nourishment and help that we so dearly need. And these words that we have meditated on this morning are given that we might be firm and true and real in our faith and steadfast towards God. As we receive this good seed of the word, may we receive it into our hearts as unto good ground, that it would bear fruit to God's honor and glory. In the manner that we were reminded this morning, I really appreciate that the things that God is pleased with is a heart that would fear him and that would hope in his mercy. These are the environment in which the fruit will grow from the seed that is planted, from the word that is sown into our hearts, that we, with fear towards the Lord and hope in God's mercy, look up to him and also look to others in the fear of God and hoping for God's mercy to be extended to them. We have learned and read that straight is the gate and narrow is the way. May we be encouraged with purpose of heart to strive and to walk upon that way, because we are assured here that this is the way which leadeth unto life. We will not hear the words, "Depart from me," at the end of that road, but "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of thy Lord." May God bless his word to our hearts in this morning, that it would be bringing fruit that would be to his honor and to his praise. Amen.